Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's Brady's pass. Caught ball. Touchdown, Mike Evans.
Could this be the end of the Brady era?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Well, he's the sports person of the year. He is the ultimate competitor. He is the greatest winner in the history of the sport. And he's saying that winning's a relief now.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Chris Carter, Louisiana running back Imani Bailey, Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, still to come, Alabama quarterback and Heisman Trophy finalist Bryce Young. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Bryce Young will be calling in shortly here from Alabama. Crimson Tide football. They are your top seed in the college football playoffs after consuming all the rat poison from the folks who thought that Alabama could get got finally by Georgia. And now, based on that performance, so many people think Bryce Young is your shoo-in after carving up the best defense that what did you call it earlier this week? Best defense college football seen in 40 years numerically?
I think so.
Right? Yeah, Rod Woodson was talking about it. He was raving about it just a couple days ago or yesterday right here on the show. A lot of people thought that wraps it up. So we'll talk to Bryce Young, as I'm imagining he's soon to board a flight to New York City. He's not already there.
Might be.
Okay. We're getting you ready for Thursday Night Football tonight, Vikes and Steelers. Later on in this hour, I'll let you know who I think is rooting for the Steelers tonight and who I think is rooting for the Vikings tonight, because it's more than just Steelers and Vikings. You're now getting to the part of the schedule where somebody's win and somebody's loss affects the community around them in the standings. So
we know who's rooting for the Vikings tonight.
Well, we're going to be talking about that later on in this program. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial right here. With Thursday Night Football kicking things off, and the sports weekend technically beginning tonight, it's time for something that I don't know how this got started a few weeks ago, but it's caught fire, at least amongst here.
It's smoking hot.
Okay, it's really terrific, and we also appreciate everybody on their YouTube stream going ahead and giving us the clicks on it. We're giving people what they wanted. We had no idea what it was called. It took me a while to figure out what it was called. But now we actually even have a drop.
Production value.
Like a production value. Okay, hit it right here.
What? What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
Okay, very good. I like the drop. Very good. And that's production value, everybody. And for the radio audience, it was very nice visual that we had right there.
Visual, yeah.
Yeah. You know, because it's funny, the visual was of all these mathematic equations on a blackboard, sort of beautiful mind type movement.
Yeah.
And me deciding what's more likely, there's nothing mathematic or scientific about it. It's gut. It
doesn't really.
It's gut and feel.
Like
that's why I go about it. Okay.
Yeah.
So are these all football related?
All football, NFL.
Go for it. So give us some NFL films.
Not some
music,
great NBA.
Jay Felly. Here we go.
All NFL. Thursday Night Football tonight, guys. Kirk Cousins has just 5 turnovers on the year.
That's it.
3 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles. Ben Roethlisberger has thrown multiple TDs in 3 of his last 4 games.
Okay.
Pittsburgh is 2-2 in those games.
Okay.
So what's more likely? The Steelers turn over Cousins tonight, or Big Ben throws for 2 or more touchdowns?
I'll say it's the Steelers turn over Cousins tonight. That's what I'll say. I'll go with that. I'll go with the fact that T.J. Watt's going to put the pressure on, and Minkah Fitzpatrick will get him. How about that? I'll even tell you who's going to get him.
T.J. Watt going to get him?
No, Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to be the one who's going to.
Minkah's going to get him.
Watt will get Cousins tonight. He's been on a roll. He's been like butter.
I didn't know he strip sack fumbles.
No, I don't know. I don't know if Ben's going to throw for multiple touchdowns tonight. That one I don't know. What's more likely is Cousins gets turned over.
All right, there you go.
All right, I like that one. Is that one of those sneaky, we're covering our tracks, not really talking about gambling type gambling? Are those? Did you just throw like two prop bets at me right there? Are you trying to figure out your prop bets right now for tonight?
Not really. Like I said, I have Claypool in fantasy, so I may lay him to score anyway, just so I, you know, kind of juice that a
little bit. Fantasy's not enough for you?
Yeah, no.
You
gotta...
No. Oh, my gosh.
No, fantasy's not enough.
Okay, very good.
Okay. All right, next up. We have a couple of 6-6 home teams.
Yes.
Hosting 8-4 teams within their division this week.
Browns and the Browns and the Washington football team.
Right. So what's more likely, a Browns upset of Baltimore or a football team upset of Dallas?
Well, the Dallas Cowboys coach is guaranteed victory. Words I never thought I would say into a microphone about the incredibly normally cautious and careful with his words, Mike McCarthy. But Mike is raging with antibodies right now, and he provided week 14 with the booster shot. So I'm going to go with the Browns. That's more likely. I think the Browns, it's more likely that the Browns beat the Ravens.
Mm.
As you know, I've been caping. From this spot.
No, big time.
And I'm going to go Browns victory over the Ravens. More likely.
Okay.
Roll Chubb and Hunt downhill and somebody go find that weak spot of the defense on a play action.
Ooh.
Come on now. That's what you're built to do. It's what Baker's coming back. You're healthier than the Ravens. Let's go. LFG.
LFG.
It's time.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. You like Browns.
Well, I don't know yet. Has Kevin Stefanski guaranteed a win yet?
I haven't seen that. No.
Okay, so then I'll go with the team that hasn't had somebody guarantee a win against him. So, or guarantee a win in it. There you have it.
All right. Next up.
Yeah,
we got two more. Next up, couple of teams on the road this week, coming off of losses. These teams we think are playoff teams. We think they can go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Which road team more likely to get back on track with a big road win? The Buffalo Bills in Tampa, the San Francisco 49ers in Cincinnati.
I think that you gave me a gimme here. You gave me a layup here. This is a layup.
Really? A layup?
About what's more likely? It's a layup. It's a layup, the 49ers in Cincinnati. A layup.
Whoa, no respect for the jungle.
No, you're saying what's more likely. I'm not saying it is definitely. It's not. The name of this thing isn't called What's Definitely Happening, right?
No, it's not.
I thought I heard the drop. It's what's not. More likely. What's more likely that the Buffalo Bills go into Tampa with the Bucs playing the way that they're playing and the Bills coming off of a short week loss at home where they had it run down their throat 222 times by a team that showed no inclination of throwing ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now Tom Brady, who's got, I won't count them all off, but the word is remarkable, and the number is 32. A remarkable 32 wins against this franchise.
Whew, that's a lot.
You're going to go into their house and come up with that dub. I think the Niners bounce back and they play a better game. It looks like it's possible Debo can return for this one. I will take the Niners going east more likely than the Bills going south. Literally, because figuratively, that's where they'll be headed to if they're 7-6. What else?
All right, last one. Last one, guys. We have a couple of MVP quarterbacks at home against their heated rival.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers has won his last 5 straight games against the Bears.
I've heard that.
He has 12 touchdowns, 13 overall.
His numbers support his statement that he owns them.
Correct.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes is 6-1 in his career against the Raiders. He's thrown for 20 touchdowns in those games, two rushing. What's more likely? Who is more likely to have a big day against the rivals? 3+ touchdowns total. Aaron Rodgers against the Bears. Patrick Mahomes against the Raiders.
I'll take Rodgers against the Bears. Then Mahomes against the Raiders. I don't know, man. I just think the Raiders are just total Jekyll and Hyde when it comes to being at home. And then at on the road, they've been a much stouter team, it seems to me, even though they lost the Giants in New Jersey. I'll take Rodgers. I'll just take Aaron Rodgers. He's just consistently been so terrific, and so is this offense all year long. Even in the loss to the Vikings, he was playing out of his head, and he's coming off of the bye too. I'll take Rodgers, more likely to have a 3-touchdown game this week than Patrick Mahomes. All right. I like it. So this is what I like about it. You're putting me in a box here, in a week 14 box.
Week 14 box.
You did. So like
make Monday, decisions.
Like tomorrow we can return to the subject matter of whether Ben threw two times and
two teddies.
Right.
Cousins got turned over.
Now at some point when we've advanced this, because you know the segments evolve, mm-hmm. You should give me a choice of both or neither.
Both or neither.
Yeah.
No, that's why? Give you four options?
Yeah, that's too many, right?
That's too many.
All right. So then it's just what's more likely. What's there you more go. Likely? I say it's more likely that Cousins gets turned over tonight by the Steelers than Ben throws for two touchdowns.
Who wins tonight?
Oh, well, let's save that for later on.
Okay.
I mean, please save what we consider the gold.
Fair.
All right. Although I did get thank you very much. You can pick down the NFL. Unless there's one more. Do you have one more?
I don't have one more. That's it. Four.
That? Okay.
Four are done.
What do you think? TJ, do you agree with my assessment? In many ways, I talk about your grab bag. Do you agree with any of the ones that I said that you would disagree with? Any of them?
I mean, your last one about the Steelers and Cousins, I think that...
That was the first one. Does that mean you were not paying attention to what we're saying?
But you ended it talking. That was the last thing you said before you
Correct.
Went away.
Yes, very
okay,
good.
So
well done.
I feel like whenever people write Ben Roethlisberger off...
I'm not writing him off.
But Ben has been written off. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I've written him off.
So you said it's more
when
like
when they started 1-2, I said he looked washed.
Okay. Well, you asked for my opinion, and then
okay. You know, so you're saying Roethlisberger too?
I have a feeling that he's going to reach into his bag tonight and come up with something special.
Deontay Johnson and Freiermuth. If he does throw for two, those are the two that he's going to throw to.
Yeah, that's a good chance that those will be the guys.
Those are the two.
Yeah. Freiermuth is low-key, like, you know, not quite Heath Miller-esque.
Thinking of picking him up and playing him instead of Pitts. I just can't stand watching Falcons games this year with Pitts on my fantasy team.
I know.
It's just so frustrating because you don't have to wonder where he is when they line up. You could just tell how hulking a mass he is standing up. And then you watch Tajay Sharpe catch it, and I think it's always – Pitts catching it because you just see a single-digit number and it is sharp. Okay, isn't that great? Run back to the huddle, and then it's just like, when are you going to throw it to this guy? Just put it up there.
It just validates all the pre-draft
noise. One touchdown.
Noise.
And I'll tell you this. Yeah, I'm going to go in on this, and this is definitely fantasy being pissed off related, but you draft him where you draft him, and he has been a non-factor in the last month. Like maybe he has been a factor in the fact that his attention allows Ryan to throw it to someone else. As you know, somebody's inactivity in fantasy always leads to somebody else's targeting and activity. Or Cordarrelle Patterson has been such a target and such a focal point of that offense, as he should be. He's
Maybe
very
Pitts
talented.
Is the reason for that.
I understand that. But as it's turned out, Pitts has not put but 7 points on the board. And you drafted him over every other player not named Lance Wilson or Lawrence. And you didn't trade him for a bunch of players that you could have drafted this year and next. You drafted, and he's just been, and the team is now, this is it. It's go time for Atlanta this week. They're going to go to Carolina.
They better win.
And it's go time because they're 5-7. So there's all of that. Let's go to Andrew in Washington State. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Rich. How are you?
I'm fine. What's on your mind?
You know, you had an interview with Chris Carter, also a great interview with Matthew Stafford, but I was just going to ask, where in your list does Chris Carter rank as some of the best hands in the NFL history as far as wide receivers go? Because his hands were just excellent. If you could answer that. And then also just for TJ, does he ever wear anything other than Jordans? When's the last time he wore some other shoes other than Jordans?
Hey, TJ, I got this one. No, he doesn't wear anything other than Jordans. Me neither, actually.
I mean, I got a pair of one pair of Adidas I wear every now and then. But yeah.
Adidas.
Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, J's on my
feet.
Now,
you say that to sound like highfalutin?
I don't think that's highfalutin.
Adidas?
Adidas.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, a lot. I don't know. Hoping for Jumpman to sponsor us.
Chris Carter's one of the greats of all time. All he did was catch touchdowns, and then he goes to Minnesota. I just love that story that he said that, you know, hey, everybody's going to come in our locker one day and see somebody sitting in who is bigger, stronger, faster. And Randy Moss, that person is you. Like, he literally said that to Randy Moss.
Imagine where Randy thought about that. Like, somebody bigger, stronger than me coming. He probably was like, there's no way.
Dude, man. Billick was the OC, right? Mm-hmm. Back in that day. Jake Reed was the third man.
Yeah.
Two.
He ate.
Jake Reed, Randy Moss, Chris Carter.
Dante Culpepper.
Let's go.
Bombs.
Right?
Get the roll on.
Those were wheels in the sky. Keep on turning.
Even Randall Cunningham, too, when he was.
Randall, that's right, yeah.
Jeff George, or getting there? No, that was earlier than that. But.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Randall had him 15-1.
All right, let's take a break. Bryce Young awaits on the other side, and I have received advice on what to do with Cook from all three experts.
Everyone answered.
That was fast.
Okay.
Fast. That's still to come as well right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
If you were Kenny Pickett, would you play in the Peach Bowl?
Absolutely not.
If you were Kenny Pickett, would you play in the Peach Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this. He's not a run. Like, how many times you see quarterbacks getting carted off? I mean, it could happen. Chances of him sustaining an injury.
One thing I wouldn't do is fake slide.
Yeah, university isn't paying him jack. His money's coming. He's going to be a top five pick.
I'll tell you this. Anybody who might be winding up with the pitch right now after hearing him being noncommittal when Dan asked him that question, which I'm sure he didn't think was coming, just check yourself, all right? Because coaches are leaving, and that's the business. That's the business.
Yep.
This man is a Heisman Trophy finalist, and he's also the quarterback of the top-ranked team going into the college football playoffs. He is right here on the Rich Eisen Show for the very first time. Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, Bryce Young is here. How are you, sir? Are you there? You must be on a cell phone. You're cutting in and out. You there?
Yeah.
Ah, there you are.
Yeah, it sounds kind of. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Why don't you do me a favor? Would you mind calling back right now? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, for sure. I'll call back.
Why don't you do that? There you go. There's Bryce Young. There you go. He's gonna Yeah, I feel like that's kind of like the top of the first quarter of the SEC championship game. A little shaky. Right? Everybody think it's not going to happen. Right.
He's not going to happen. 10-0 hole.
You know,
he's
like
down 10.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to happen. And everything that we expected, based off of the outset of there being a bad connection, that's not going to happen. But he's going to call back, and it's going to be the greatest interview we've ever had.
I think you're right.
It's just like the SEC championship game right there.
That's pretty good.
Did you like that one?
I did.
Oh, the freezing cold takes. People are like, Alabama's just not, can't hang with them. It's rare to see Alabama on the same field with a team that they, that's they're far worse than.
I got to say, it was 10-0 and I was counting my money. I'm like, yeah.
Were you really, though? Come on. Against Alabama?
Looked over. They looked like they couldn't do anything.
Over?
They looked like they couldn't do anything. Georgia moved right down the field. I was like, sweet. This week's done.
Dude.
What am I betting on Sunday? Like, let's go.
I guess when you're not emotionally invested, you have clearer eyes and fuller hearts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you were like, Michigan's, this game's over against Iowa. And I'm shut up. I don't want to hear another thing on this text exchange with you.
I watched a quarter. Iowa couldn't move the ball. That game was a wrap.
Right? Right? And then I saw that game, and I'm like, Georgia's might win today. I don't know yet, man. I need to see this. And then half an hour later, that thing was wrapped.
We should have known better, though, man. Like, it's Alabama.
Well, I mean, when was the last time Alabama had been?
It had been like 90 something games since they were underdogs.
Okay, Bryce Young back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. You there, Bryce?
Yeah.
Hey. Here we go, baby.
It sounds like you're right next to me, Bryce.
Like the third quarter.
It really does. Yeah, we were just saying this is kind of like the SEC championship game. It was a little shaky at first, but everything turns out in the end, right? Pretty much right there. Pretty much. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are you guys?
You know what? I'm good. I'm ready to roll. I'm, you know, getting ready for week 14 of the NFL season. Full disclosure, I'm a University of Michigan alum, so life is pretty good. At some point, you know, if you know the football gods smile, maybe January 10th, we're having another conversation. You and I, you know?
Yes, sir, that's the goal.
So what is it like to be coached by Nick Saban, Bryce?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to clock in at work every day, go on the field and know, you know, you're being coached by the best, you know, to know that, you know, that's someone that's always going to demand a high standard from all of us, from, you know, myself individually, us as a team, someone that you know has seen everything, has coached the best, been in the biggest moments and situations, and to have the opportunity to pick his brain and take the coaching and be able to grow underneath him and the things that he chooses, the position he puts me in, the things he chooses, you know, to tell me during practice, the insight he gives me, you know, it's the best thing you can ask for as a college player.
The insight, what is the insight? Can you give me an example of that insight?
I mean, it's all types of stuff, whether it's little tips on, hey, if you see safety rotation like this, you know, this is, you know, you got to expect this type of coverage. It could be situational stuff in game as far as, you know, make sure you know the clock. This is a situation. Make sure that we don't want to give the ball back or we want to make sure that we're burning as much clock or, you know, this is a situation where we can take a shot because we have another, whatever it may be. Again, that's someone who's a master of situations and been in every situation, seen every coverage, seen everything. So again, for me to be able to, you know, get some of that knowledge and be able to coach by him on a daily basis, I mean, it's helped me grow tremendously.
Has he ever told you about his friend Bofa? Bryce, has he ever gone there with you on that front or no?
Yeah, I've been here too long to fall for something like that.
Okay, yeah, because we heard about that earlier this year from one of your colleagues. So, what was the recruiting process like with Alabama?
Yeah, ironically, it was an interesting process actually. Mm-hmm. I first got offered by University of Alabama. It was right during the playoffs of my sophomore year of high school. Mm-hmm. I had taken a trip out here. It was like we had like a bye week right before playoffs started, taking a trip up here. They had offered me, and this time it was Tosh, LaPoy. It was a whole different staff. And the funny thing I remember is when I first came up here, I was thinking, and again, this is me as a sophomore, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll never be there. You know, I just didn't think, I never thought about going to the South, to the SEC, going to the South.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about, you know, I was just, you know, I'd been in California my whole life, and I was just, you know, I was just, I had a few offers, so I was just hoping for, you know, maybe, you know, I'll probably stay in the Pac-12 or maybe, you know, something like that. And then I remember that went on. I committed to USC, and then it was about, say, like the off season leading into my senior year. Sark was there. Coach Sark was who originally recruited me, and, you know, he's from SoCal, and I had known him through, you know, just through other coaching stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
through, you know, kind of mutual friends. I just been around him and knew who he was, of course. So, you know, then he had reached out and I had started talking to him, and then, you know, it changed as far as just, as far as me just, oh, this is a great offer. Obviously it's a Bama. I just, you know, I'm not really locked in. I just wanted the offer. I just wanted to see the facilities to like, this is a real possibility. This is something that can, you know, that I have to look at from a different lens. And then, you know, as I got around here, I started to kind of learn about and see the culture. I started to see, you know, seeing the offense, seeing how it worked and feeling like it was a good fit for me. You know, I ended up, you know, that's what ended up leading me into, you know, making that decision. I ended up committing to Alabama like the fifth game of my senior year. And then, you know, it was best decision I could possibly make.
I would think so. What was it like being in a quarterback room with Mac Jones last year, Bryce?
Yeah, no, it was a huge learning experience for me. To see someone like Mac, and especially when you're talking about in a meeting room, in the quarterback room, to see how he processes, how he thinks about things, to see the preparation that he would put in and week out. You know, to see him on the board, see how comfortable he was in the offense, see how comfortable he was talking about defenses and all that. For me, as someone who was new to college, you know, I had thought that, you know, that was a strong suit of mine in high school, of trying to be prepared and being smart, but seeing that next level and that jump, and this is what, you know, and seeing obviously the success that Mac had last year and the team had last year, I saw, okay, this is what's required, this is standard, this is what I have to be at, you know, to get to the high levels that I want to go. And to be able to see that firsthand, be able to, you know, pick his brain, ask him questions, learn from someone like Mac, that's an invaluable experience. So I'm grateful I had that learning opportunity.
How about this year? Do you have contact with Mac and bounce ideas off him even this year while he's going through his first remarkable professional football season?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I just texted yesterday. You know, we've texted throughout the year. And again, anytime I get to pick his brain, ask him, hey, what's it like up there? Hey, how did you maneuver through this situation last year? Or how did you see this? Or him, you know, just sharing his experiences, or you know, maybe seeing something on a game, like, hey, maybe this is something that you know, we ran or I've learned. But just to have Mac as a resource and to be able to, even to, you know, to this day, to be able to text him or call him about whatever it is he knows, and just be able to pick his brain again, even, you know, to this day and beyond, it's always going to be extremely beneficial for me to have him as a resource.
Bryce Young of the University of Alabama right here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting set to, so you're heading to New York when, tomorrow? Is that when you're headed to?
Tonight, late tonight.
Tonight, very good. Safe journey there as you go to the Heisman Trophy final and the ceremony. So a question for you. Nick Saban mentioned rat poison, I'm sure. Does he refer to it as rat poison to you as he does to the media? Does he refer to that?
Yeah, I think we're all just inscribed in our brains at this point.
Okay, so he does refer, like, that's the phrase he uses with you, and normally the rat poison is what to you?
Yeah, and normally it's, yeah, he definitely uses it with me, he uses it with all of us, and that's normally, you know, the media talking about, you know, what we've done well, and normally the media, you know, gassing us up about whatever, whether it be individually, us as a team. Normally that's what he's referring to. And, you know, this past weekend, it was kind of a different opportunity for us, to where we were kind of getting the opposite, to where a lot of people didn't believe in us. A lot of people, you know, a lot of people were kind of putting negative things out there in the media about us. And, you know, he kind of talked to, you know, with that press conference after the game, you know, calling it, you know, calling the rat poison, yummy. He was like, it was
yummy.
It was a good opportunity for us, to where we normally, it's about blocking out the positivity in the media and blocking out hearing, oh, you're this good, you're that good. But this week it was, you know, allowing us to use that as fuel and motivation and be able to kind of earn our respect. So this week it kind of worked in, you know, in a different way than it normally does for us.
So how did Nick Saban employ the rat poison throughout the week leading up to Georgia? How did he, because again, this is, as you pointed out, a new thing where he's actually letting you in on what the media is saying as opposed to saying drown it out. It makes his job tougher for him to be a coach to make sure you're focused on the task at hand. How did he employ the rat poison this past week?
Well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to really tell us what people are saying. You know, we always as a team, and he's always acknowledges that it's out there. You know, we're all in this day and age, we all see stuff and we all hear stuff, and it's impossible, unrealistic for us to just assume we never see anything and we're never going to hear what the media says. But really, typically, it's in the past about, it's just that challenge for us to push it out and to block it out, and to, even though it might be noise in the background, to make sure it stays just that, as noise. But again, this week it was easier to where, you know, again, we had still all heard what the media was saying, and instead of us, you know, really having to block it out and not feed into it, we kind of were able to use it as motivation. And again, it was an opportunity for us to earn our respect, and it's something we have to keep building off of.
So he didn't specifically point something out, like, here's something.
There was a few specifics, but
come on.
Again, it wasn't really that necessary for us. Again, it was, yeah. You know, you hear what's going on, and we're all conscious of what's going on. It was just us, again, about us just, you know, earning that respect and getting back to the standard that we always, that we're so big on. So, again, it's something that we have to keep continuing to do and keep building on for the future.
All right, let's talk about you for a little bit, Bryce Young. There is no I, or there is a Y. There's no I in Bryce or Young, so there's two Ys, I guess. So, at any rate, who was your quarterback growing up? Who's your guy? Who said, I want to be like this guy? And now here you are as a 20-year-old getting set to go to New York as the Heisman Trophy finalist, a potential winner on a team that's top-ranked going into a college football playoff.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has always been my favorite quarterback, you know, as long as I've been a conscious student of the game. Aaron Rodgers has always been my favorite quarterback, someone that I've looked up to, someone that I've definitely tried to emulate and have a ton of respect for. I'm just seeing the stuff he can do on the field, seeing the throws he can make, you know, a lot of the stuff that you see on Sundays from him it's crazy. So I've spent a good amount of time, you know, watching stuff and trying to learn what I can just from, you know, watching games on Sundays or watching YouTube cut-ups or whatever. But that's definitely, you know, as long as I've been, you know, like a conscious fan of the game, that's definitely been my favorite quarterback.
What do you think you have in your game that's that emulates his, the specifics? What do you think?
I try to emulate kind of that quick release, that ability to throw on and off platform. He does a really good job of extending plays, and a lot of times extending plays to remain a passer, which is always a fine line. And again, someone who when you do it so much, sometimes it can, you know, then that's when you start seeing him make runs downfield that, you know, you're almost, you wonder, dang, how did he get that, that much space? And it's because of how dangerous he is, you know, extending the play and remaining a passer. So there's a lot of details about his game that I try to emulate, but yeah, those are definitely a few of them.
All right, and speaking of emulating part of Rodgers' game, Bryce Young, I'll give you the floor. Do you want to say you own Georgia in the same way he says he owns the Bears? I'll give you that invitation. Do you want to say that?
Definitely not. It's a week. Every time we play a story program like that and such a great team, great organization, again, it's, you know, any success we have in the past, we know that it doesn't carry over at all to anything. We have to earn each win, especially when you're talking about a program and a team as good as Georgia's. You have to earn each one of those wins, and it comes from hard work and preparation. But it's every time, you know, and it's really any game, especially with these games coming up, anything that happens in the past, it's a learning opportunity, and you can benefit off, you know, you can build off what you did well, and you can learn from what you did not as well. But you don't start with any more points on the board. You have to earn a win each and every week.
Look
so
at you.
That's with everyone.
Look at you. Good answer. That's good. You not only do you not accept the rat poison, you won't put any into the world. That is a well-coached individual. Well done, Bryce Young. And in that regard, I'm going to ask you a question. I got a couple more for you. Second to last one right here. I've asked this question of Tua. I've asked this question of Mac Jones. So now I get to ask it of you. What's the angriest you've ever made Nick Saban? What's the angry, the most you've ever pissed him off?
That's a good question. Let me think. I think I would say it was my freshman year, mm-hmm. first game. I'd say it was probably my freshman year, first game, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And when I first got here, I had a big issue with carrying the ball. Mm-hmm. In high school, I would just run around with the ball with one hand on the ball. I'd have one hand on the ball almost in the pocket. All the time, I'd have one hand on the ball whenever I was extending plays. Mm-hmm. And Coach Saban would yell at me every single time in a rep that I had it, and that was pretty often. So I would get yelled at from Coach. I mean, every 2 minutes. I remember there was one 2 minute, and this is, again, me as a freshman. We had won the 2 minute, and I had scrambled and found someone downfield. We won, and I was super happy about it, and I turned around, and Coach isn't, you know, and Coach has nothing positive to say. He turns around and just starts yelling at me about having the ball out. In my head, I'm thinking, like, Coach, I got away. I was fine. I had it under control. And the play worked. But, he was just worried about the ball out. So fast forward, Missouri game. This is kind of the end of the game. This is my first time playing mm-hmm. in college. And I think it's the second drive, maybe first, second drive. I step up, try to move to the right. And, again, have one hand on the ball. Mm-hmm. And someone tackles me, gets the ball out, and it's a fumble. And it's, like, on their 35, 40, so we have a good field position. And I already knew going to when I got up what I was going to have to hear on the sideline. So I'm jogging over, and I feel I know it wasn't that bad, but I felt like Coach met me like at the middle of the field. He's livid, and you know, rightfully so. It's something that he was preaching on since I first got there, and something I kind of just filed to the side as whatever, I'm going to make it work. And then kind of after that, I realized, like, oh, you know what? All these rings, all these great teams, this great culture. Maybe Coach knows a thing or two. Maybe I should listen. So I've been working on improving that ever since.
So do me a favor, Bryce. If you are so fortunate to win the Heisman on Saturday, you should show it to Coach and say, "See, he's got it tucked in there. All 4 points of pressure in that football right there point to that trophy." Would you?
Yeah, that's anytime the ball's out, good, bad, and ugly, whatever it is. You're always gonna hear from him.
I love it. That's great. And so, speaking of the Heisman, who's going with you? Who's part of your team, your entourage that's coming up there with you?
Yeah, it's gonna be, as far as, you know, like, traveling with me, just mm-hmm. you know, just gonna be my parents, and then, you know, the operation is here at the university. But as far as traveling with me, on my way up there, just my mom and my dad.
That's so cool. What, they must be just over the moon, Bryce, right? Like, this is what you as a family have been hoping for and achieving, and you're in the midst of it, obviously, on a rise. You're a 20-year-old at this, having succeeded, and to this point, that must be amazing for you and your family, Bryce, truly. So
it's congrats. A blessing, for sure. You know, as a family, we've had a lot of, you know, God's shown us a lot of favor, and I'm definitely blessed to be in the circumstance that I am, and I'm very blessed to have the parents that I do, you know, to have a two-parent household and to have mom and a dad that supported me and you know, and been there, you know, by my side since literally I was born. For them to, you know, them to be here and accompany me to a, you know, a moment as big as this, and it's you know, I'm extremely blessed.
Bryce Young, what a pleasure to meet you. I hope this is the first of many times I get to chat with you, whether it's collegiately or, you know, knock on whatever for the next level. Have a great, safe trip up to New York and a great weekend, and let's connect over the next several weeks if you're up for it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. That is Bryce Young of the University of Alabama. Could not be more impressed by the conversation right there.
That was incredible.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I
looked. Does he have his head screwed on straight, or what?
You got to, playing for Saban.
So I looked up the play.
Yeah?
I looked up the play that made him mad. I think what also set Saban off, so it was a 3rd and 19 that Bryce fumbled on in the fourth quarter.
What was the score, by the way?
What was the score?
Is it burned in on the screen right there?
35-13.
Okay.
Mizzou scored on the next play.
Oh no, that makes it even worse.
But it also came after a delay of game penalty.
Oh,
so it was. So it was third.
Oh my God! It just gets worse.
Yeah, it was 3rd and 14. Alabama gets delay of game.
Oh,
it's 3rd and 19.
So coach is already steaming.
He's already steaming. Like, get the play. Get the play.
Yeah, sure, of course, yeah.
And then Bryce Young gets sacked by Trey Williams for a 7-yard loss. Missouri scores 2 plays later. on a 54-yard touchdown to make it 35-19.
What was the final score? Was that it?
38-19 was the final. So Bryce was playing in the fourth quarter of that game, obviously. First game of the year.
How cool. Sharing a quarterback room with Mac Jones.
Yeah, pretty cool.
For Nick Saban, right? At Alabama. Neat stuff, everybody. Neat stuff. All right, when we come back, who's rooting for the Steelers tonight and who's rooting for the Vikings tonight? And I have all the advice in from my three draft fantasy experts about what to do with Dalvin Cook tonight. That's coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204 Rich. Number to dial. All right, Nick in Corona, California is on the program. Wants to say something about, I think, what just went down here. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, Rich? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
It's only appropriate for me to call in your pest control guy. You guys are talking about rat poison. So I wanted to let you know, I sent a box of rat poison to Saban's house, labeled "From Rich, host of the Rich Eisen Show."
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Suck on these.
I'm sure that's the reason why he's avoiding my call. Maybe now. I mean, thanks for that, Nick. Appreciate it. But you know,
you got it.
How's the exterminating going today, Nick?
Actually, he's gone. He's out.
My man held on the line for
just
like
to say that.
Like an hour and a half.
That was just him. I didn't drop him.
To just make that joke.
Rat poison.
That is amazing.
Last time he called, he had a great story. He's out there, you know, squirting bugs and listening to us on the radio.
By the way, you know who also lets the players? Bugs. You know who also lets the players know sometimes what the media's saying about them when it suits them?
Mike McCarthy?
Bill Belichick.
Oh.
I mean, Saban knows exactly what he's doing. That rat poison was yummy, which Bryce Young found funny, as did the rest of the media. Okay, so let's talk about tonight's game, reality and fantasy. Here's the reality of tonight's game.
Yes.
Reality of tonight's game is I think the Pittsburgh Steelers walk in to Minnesota and come out with the win this evening.
Oh, baby.
I liked what I saw this past week. I think that defense got its footing. The same way that I saw the Patriots come together a few weeks ago, and the same way that I saw the Chiefs start to come together, that win against the Ravens is, I think, a little bit more than just throw the records out and you play that way against a team that you know very well. I think tonight they go hunt Kirk Cousins, and I don't know what to make of Dalvin Cook being made available. But in terms of the reality of it, if the Steelers win, okay, This is who is rooting for the Steelers tonight. Steelers fans are rooting for the Steelers tonight. Packers fans are rooting for the Steelers tonight, because if the Steelers win against Minnesota, the Packers can clinch the NFC North with a win on Sunday night. Also rooting for the Steelers tonight, the Washington football team and the Niners and the Eagles, who are sitting in front of the Vikings right now in the sniffing it category at 5-7. Panthers and Falcons and Saints obviously are. And on the not even on the screen, which is remarkable, I would say the Seattle Seahawks fans are rooting hard for the Steelers tonight because the Seahawks at 4-8, by the way, they would win a win against the Houston Texans this week. They'd have the same record.
Right. Not dead yet.
Could you imagine the Vikings and the Seahawks wind up in the Week 14 crossroads at the same record?
No, absolutely.
It's entirely possible.
Absolutely not.
And then here's who's rooting for the Vikings tonight. Obviously, Vikings fans. Browns, Ravens, and Bengals fans. They are rooting hard for them. And you know who's also rooting hard for them? His team's clearly right around Pittsburgh. Maybe the Colts in the sniff it category. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
are rooting hard for the Vikings tonight. Believe it or not. The folks at 345 Park Avenue with the numbers crunchers and calculator holders and protractors and all that business have decided that if the Steelers win tonight, the Jaguars are eliminated from playoff contention.
Still alive.
Houston, the Lions, as you know, right now are still alive in the NFC somehow. But I believe Houston is the first eliminated team from the playoffs, and the Jaguars can join it if the Steelers win tonight. So they're rooting... In Duval County, Duval, they're doing the skull clap. That's what they're doing. Now then, fantasy.
All right, 62% say sit Dalvin tonight.
I have reached out to the following. I have reached out to Matthew Berry of ESPN.
Okay.
Michael Fabiano of Sports Illustrated.
All right.
And Cynthia Freeland of NFL Media
Fantastic.
Group.
They know their stuff.
I mean, can you go any further up the chain of command in fantasy
One,
world?
Two, okay? three. Do it.
Due respect to anybody else who's talks
like
about
I said, we were
Who
here
do you want first? Yeah. What do you want first? I've been given permission from all three of them to read off their opinions.
Just go right in order. Start with Matthew Berry.
The first one to chime in was Fabs.
Okay.
Fabs chimed in right away. If Cook, here's what I sent. Talking on the air, do you trust Cook tonight? I have Jacobs, Montgomery, and Hubbard all lined up.
Okay.
Michael Fabiano says, if Cook is active, unless there's reports of sharing workload / snap count, tough to sit him. But if you wanted to play it safe, you clearly have depth. Montgomery didn't practice yesterday, though.
Interesting.
So I wrote back, by the way, I've got three spots for the four. So Jacobs, Montgomery, and Hubbard. He wrote, sitting Hubbard, assuming Dalvin Cook, assuming Montgomery plays on Sunday Night Football. That's what Fab said.
He's playing.
Cynthia Freeland checked in.
Okay.
I wrote, the same thing. Do you trust Cook tonight? Yep. I've got Jacobs, Montgomery, and Hubbard all lined up. Quote, I don't. Dislocated shoulder less than 2 weeks ago. Madison is doing well. I think it's more posturing, like we haven't given up. That's frightening to even think about that, about starting Cook. She's got a point in that regard.
Montgomery or
Hubbard? I think Hubbard's the best there. New OC for Panthers wants to run a lot from Baylor, stated he wants to run. And then I wrote, by the way, I have three spots for the four. She wrote, gotcha. I don't trust Cook.
Okay. Matthew, all right, we're 50-50 now.
Matthew Berry.
Put it over the top.
Matthew Berry. If Minnesota thinks Cook is healthy enough to play, he's healthy enough for your fantasy team, I'd start him. Minnesota's gotten good production from Madison, so no reason to activate him to not use him. No interest in Hubbard. Montgomery is banged up. And then he wrote back, I take that back. Hubbard might be okay, but likely not involved in passing game. And who knows what offense looks like without Brady. I'd go Cook over Hubbard. And then I wrote back, by the way, I have three spots for the four. He wrote, if Monty is active, I play him over Hubbard. You tell me. Put it all in there.
Looks like you're starting Cook tonight.
Although Cynthia Freeland makes an outstanding point.
She does make an outstanding
point. Like, he's active because what's it going to cost him? A spot for some special teamer?
I guess, yeah. Extra.
Like, we're not giving up. We're in there. Cook's out there.
But you're also right.
Snap count this.
And what
that.
You said before, if he takes one hit, one TJ Watt pop, boom, that shoulder's now back out. He's out.
What's more likely? Cook shows up tonight, runs like Dalvin Cook, scores like Dalvin Cook. Vikings play like the Dalvin Cook Vikings.
And they win.
Or Cook starts, gets hurt. Or is middling because he's on a snap count, middling fantasy-wise, and the Vikings lose to the Steelers at home, and they've lost Cook for the rest of the year potentially, and now they're cooked. What's more likely?
The latter of the two.
Latter.
I'm thinking that too.
Yep.
Boy, tomorrow's show's going to be a lot of fun. I have no idea what is coming out of tonight, week 14 starters.
Poof, baby.
The Vikings and the Steelers for you. I want to thank Bryce Young and Alabama for making him available. It's neat stuff. 2 days before, he might get that Heisman Trophy with all 4 points of pressure in there. You think he'll tell us? He's holding it with one hand, Coach.
He will not do that.
That was
and Matthew Stafford and, of course, Chris Carter. We're back to take you to Brother from Another on Peacock.